What must I do to inherit eternal life? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. In the third parish that I served as a priest, the first parish I served in as a pastor, I had a parishioner there who had served for many decades as a justice of the peace. His birthday and mine are on the same date, October 4th, but we were born 50 years apart. So while I was there at Sacred Heart Church in Baldwin, he turned 80, I turned 30. And so his wife decided to have a birthday celebration for both of us together. It was a great day. In the course of the conversation, we talked about his life, and he told me that he took his duties as a public servant very seriously, but he took his faith even more seriously, and it's true. He was one of those people that you come across who was just genuinely a good man, intelligent, humble. In his younger days, he was much more active in the parish than he was at the age of 80. He had taught catechism. He was in the Knights of Columbus. He served as an usher. He was on the parish council. He was still in the choir. He loved doing that, and he was able to sing, and he was just a very good man. His younger brother, not much younger than he, but still younger, was the deacon, one of the deacons we had at Sacred Heart Parish. In the course of our conversation, he told me that whenever he would perform marriages, as was part of his duties as a justice of the peace, if he knew that the couple was Catholic, he always reminded them that all he could do for them was a civil ceremony, but that they would need to go and see either his brother or the priest to be able to have their marriage blessed in order for them to remain in good standing in the church and receive the other sacraments. I was impressed by that. He volunteered that information. And that's a good thing. This is an example of a good Catholic public servant who doesn't encourage, doesn't support, doesn't promote or defend vice and sin, but instead, he encourages people to have an active practice in their faith, or at least to be people who have good morals and do something positive and good for their community. He did this not only by his word, but certainly by his example, as I knew him. He's gone to God since, but he certainly was a very good husband, father, and a great example to the community. So today, as a priest, whenever I see other prominent so-called Catholics of high standing, whether they be elected officials or persons in business or whatever way of having high profiles, when I see these people openly disregard the teachings of Christ and the teachings of the church, causing scandal and arrogantly defying church law by receiving Holy Communion publicly or by failing to repent or to change and show others the path of truth, the goodness, and righteousness instead of encouraging a holy way of life, I of course get disgusted. We as Catholics have a huge responsibility to practice our faith, to encourage others to do so, and to be the kinds of people that Christ is calling us to be in every possible way. To love him as Jesus said, not only in name, but with our entire being, our hearts, our strength, our mind, and to care for our neighbor, not only materially, but certainly spiritually. Now go back to the opening prayer that we had, which prayed exactly for that. And the prayer was, O God, who show the light of your truth to those who go astray, so that they may return to the right path, give all who for the faith they profess or are accounted Christians the grace to reject whatever is contrary to the name of Christ and to strive after all that does it honor. Those are serious and important words. God shows us the light of truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And the gospel he gives us is a light to our path and enlightenment to our minds to bring us to the fullness of truth, who is Christ. And yes, sometimes we get tempted and we go astray. It happens. But Jesus always calls us back. You know, there's many people say, well, the church needs to be more inclusive of people. And that's true. We should encourage everybody to come to church. You come as you are, but we have to change. That's our state tourist motto, I think it is, isn't it? Come as you are, leave different. That's how it is in the church. You come as you are, but you have to leave different, which means you leave a better person than when you came in the first place. A change of heart, a change of mind, a change of will to return back to Christ instead of away from Him, to return to the right path. If we're going to profess ourselves as Christian because of the faith that we have, then of course we have to live it and act like it. And we need God's grace every moment, begging God to give us that strength to reject everything that is contrary to Christ, but to strive after everything that honors the name of Christ. When we honor Christ, we become honorable ourselves. And that's the whole point, to turn from sin and to do good. This is true for every person. High profile or not, every one of us called by God to turn away from everything that is not of Christ and to embrace everything that is of Christ. And we see things in the world today that separate human beings from God. You see faithlessness. People don't pray, people don't go to Mass anymore. Some don't even believe in God. We separate ourselves from Christ by saying, well, you know, I can get away with these particular sins, I can break these commandments, you know, because God understands, He loves me anyway, and that's true. But He still says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Sometimes we show irreverence in church, but we come as an obligation, but don't pay attention, don't pray, do other things. In our speech, we blaspheme God so many times. Like the world, we find ourselves lying and cursing. We find ourselves stealing. We find ourselves being lazy, committing adultery, fornication, getting angry, becoming jealous, filled with hatred and pride. All those things. Where does that come from? It comes from the depths of hell. Temptations that come to beat us up, just like this man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, St. Luke doesn't talk about this, but why would people go to Jericho in Jesus' time? It's because that was the place at the Jordan River where the Israelites came into the Promised Land. And so people made a pilgrimage there to go and pray and to go into the Jordan, where John was baptizing, as you all know, to repent of their sins and become better people. Maybe that's what that guy was doing. Maybe he was going from Jerusalem to Jericho because he had done something wrong and wanted to repent, and then these robbers come and beat him to a pulp and leave him there for dead. And Jesus is using that as an example for all of us, that many times we too might be going from our own place saying, you know, I've done something wrong, I need to become a better person, I need to make a change, and on the way there we get beaten up by temptation and left for dead. And then, just like the Samaritan who becomes an image for Jesus, Christ comes. He comes to heal our wounds. He comes to restore us to health, restore us to life. He takes care of us, and He pays the price. He pays the price with His own blood for our salvation. And Jesus is telling us, what I have done for you, do for one another. Don't lead other people to sin and death. Don't beat them up to a pulp and leave them for dead. Give them life. Take care of one another materially. Feed one another, clothe one another, helping each other to have good housing, all the good things we need to do as Christians to build one another up, not only physically, but most importantly, spiritually, to bring people to Christ, to bring people to holiness. Come as you are. Leave different. That's what we do. Not encouraging others to sin by word or example, but by lifting them up into grace. We can never forget, brothers and sisters, that every human being, including ourselves, has an immortal soul. We have souls that one day will go before God for judgment, and we're going to be judged by our love for Him and our love for one another, and whether or not we have fulfilled that love. We're going to be held accountable for our sins, the things that we have done and things that we have failed to do, whether we have led other people to sin or whether we've led other people to the mercy of God. Have we done our part to help others, to lead better lives? As I said, we are called by Christ to build each other up, not only physically but spiritually, by prayer, by our witness, by our encouragement. So may God give us that grace, the grace and spirit of courage, along with the deepening of faith and the strengthening of charity, to do as He did, to go and do likewise.